Ordinary Moments I asked her to read. And because of time, we're not going to do that this morning, but pray for our missionaries. I've only done short-term mission. I've never done anything long-term, and I don't know that I have the wherewithal to do that. It takes a special person. I admire people like Elaine and people that I know that have served on the mission field for so many years. I don't know that I could do that, but pray for them. They're a very needy, people. Well, this morning we're going to, we're in week two of our series of what I call What If. Now, some of you missed 2 weeks ago the first series and first of that series, and if you'd like it, I'll be glad to give you a tape of it. But as we talked about 2 weeks ago, this series explores the possibilities of making personal changes within ourselves, of choosing to live by the principles of Scripture. This Bible is a wonderful book, and it has so much contained in it that it's almost hard to grasp everything. But God gives us so many promises within this book. 2 weeks ago, we talked about, what if I forgave everyone? Have you ever thought about that? Now, we say we forgive sometimes, but we keep it up here. We don't forget all the time. What if I forgave? And we saw that when you forgive, you experience God's total forgiveness. Now, He has forgiven you. He's wiped the slate clean the moment you asked Him to be your Savior. But we can't live in harmony with God when we hold things in our hearts, when we don't forgive other people. And today, this morning, we're going to ask the question, what if I take control of my thoughts? Now, as I was preparing for this sermon and this entire series, I thought that this was one of the toughest areas of spiritual discipline to master. What if I take control of my thoughts? But the truth is, none of the subjects we're going to deal with over the next few weeks are easy. Every one of them is tough because it challenges us to live more like Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how many of you listen to Joel Osteen. I don't. But Joel Osteen is the is today's version of Norman Vincent Peale. Norman Vincent Peale had a ministry of doing good. Now, I don't agree with his theology, but he did say this one time. He said, change your thoughts and you'll change your world. Now, I've heard many say to me, Pastor, that's not easy. We just can't change our life by changing our thoughts. Well, the truth of the matter is, the first part you can't, but the second part you can. You can change your life by changing your thoughts. But the fact is, it's not easy. Anyone who's tried to change their way of thinking, I believe, could tell you that. Let me prove it to you. I don't know how many in here have ever smoked, but I know some have. And it's a very hard habit to break. My mother smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day. And she was able to smoke. She was able to quit just like that. Overnight, she quit smoking. She fell, broke a rib, punctured her lung, and the doctor showed her an x-ray of what her lung looked like. The next day, she quit. But, for most people, you ever see a person who's a smoker in a meeting? A church service. They keep reaching for their cigarettes. Even though they know they can't smoke, it's a habit. They just keep reaching for their cigarettes. They do that. We do that sometimes with other things in our lives. He knows that he can't smoke. He knows that he can't just pull out a fag, a cigarette, and light it up. Especially in the church. But they keep reaching anyhow, don't they? We're programmed certain ways in our lives. We do certain things by habit. Each of us. I've got some bad habits. I know that's hard to believe. But we do. And our natural tendency is to think negatively about these people that have these bad habits. So looking at people with bad habits, such as me, let's look at the problems that you get from thinking negative thoughts. The first and most important is that negative thinking robs you of a life of faith. You know, it's difficult, very difficult, to live with an attitude that says, God is bigger than any of my problems. I know we'd like to believe that we live that way sometimes, but do we honestly believe it? So often when problems come my way, I have the thought, this ruins everything. This just doesn't make my day. It's difficult to live with an attitude that God is bigger than any of my problems, because I think when something comes my way, it ruins everything, doesn't it? It's hard to live with an attitude that says, you know what, I'm blessed by God. I'm blessed and I'm highly favored by God. When every little convenience that happens in our lives, when they come along, we say, well, you know, this isn't typical. Another problem is that negative thinking leads to inactivity. It leads to what's the use mentality. We've heard that on television so much lately, haven't we? Well, what's the use? Why even bother trying things? Nothing works. You know what? I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to starve myself for a few weeks. I'll give up eating the things that I like. But you know, the truth is, after those couple weeks, I'm going to get right back to where I was. So what's the use of even trying? Why should I even bother to strengthen my marriage? We'll get along for a couple of weeks, but then it'll just go right back to where it was. My spouse doesn't appreciate anything I do. I just give and give and give, and I get nothing in return. So why do we bother? Folks, you give in to the natural tendency to think negatively. We all do that. It's easier to give in to temptation and to do nothing. Because of this, negative thinking also often causes isolation in our relationships. It causes us to focus on what's wrong with our relationship. And it tricks us into thinking that you and I can do absolutely nothing about it. So what good will it do? If you're willing to work hard taking control of your thought life, I'm going to tell you it's going to make a big difference in your life. And you might ask yourself the question, well, Pastor, what kind of difference? Well, for one, you'll be happier. It doesn't take a degree of in brain chemistry to know that when a person thinks positive, uplifting thoughts, they're happier. We've all been around people that are negative. What do? They drag us right down in the gutter with them. But when people are uplifting and joyful, we like to be around them, don't we? Sure we do. And second, when you take control of your thoughts, you'll develop a more accurate view of the world. One of the misconceptions about positive thinking is that it's nothing more than wishful thinking, a pie-in-the-sky type thinking. When actually the purpose of positive thinking is not to look at the world through those rose-colored glasses, but to look at the world through clear glass so you can see what's really there. The purpose of positive thinking is not to create a fictional view of reality, but to see what reality really is so you can do something about it. Positive thinking doesn't mean that you avoid thinking about negative things. It means that you avoid thinking about things negatively. Negative thinkers say, this is a terrible situation, and you know what? There's no solution to it. Positive thinkers say, this is a terrible solution, and I'm going to find ways to make it better. That's what we need to be doing. Because of this, another benefit of being a positive thinker is that you become more productive. Instead of thinking, what's the use? We'll begin thinking, what can I do about it? And when you take control of your thoughts, you spend less time thinking about things that take you nowhere. You spend less time reliving the past and revisiting your regrets. You spend less time thinking about what could have been. And you spend more time thinking about what can be. If you take the effort to take control of your thought life, it'll improve your emotional state as well. Your spiritual life, your relationships. It'll even allow you to do your job with greater ability. So to put it into practice, here's the question, how do we do it? How do we do it? Well, this morning I want to look at three steps that each of us can take. But before I do, let's pray. Father, we need you to take control of each of our thought lives right now. So often we go back on the negative things in life. We have a good pity party for ourselves, and it absolutely accomplishes nothing good. Father, help us to be positive, especially when something in question comes along, something that we don't understand the future, but God, we know that you love us so much that you take care of the future for us. Help us to look like you look. Help us to be like you are. Help us to understand our thoughts and give them back to you in a positive manner. Now, Father, be with us. Open our hearts, our minds, our ears, and our eyes as we look at these three things that we can put into practice to take control of our thoughts. And we'll give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the first is to think on purpose. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And when Paul said this, he was talking about the influences the world has on our belief systems, as well as most of the basic ideas of life. You see, folks, the world teaches one philosophy. God's Word, the Bible, teaches another philosophy. And we need to make sure that our thinking is in line with God's Word, the biblical model. Years ago, when I had my surveying and engineering firm, I traveled an awful lot. I was gone sometimes 4 and 5 days a week. Most of the time, I was by myself. So I had quite a bit of time to think. I was alone with my thoughts many times in a motel room. And what I've discovered over the years is, left unchecked, your thoughts can take you to all kinds of crazy places. You ever daydream? They can take you places that you never thought you would go. Let me give you an example. I used to love to buy new cars. I loved cars. You see an ad in the newspaper or magazine, nice car. Wish I could afford it. But I can't afford anything right now. Not on my salary. Not with the demands placed on me. Not with the economy that's going on right now. I don't see how it's going to get better either, do you? This is a terrible economy we have here in Cheyenne. I guess the days for me are pretty much over. The days of prosperity are pretty much over for me. Poor Dougie. You know, as I think about it, I have a friend, Bob. I wish I would have taken some of the advantages that he took from a financial standpoint. I wish I could have been like Bob. Man, he's done well for himself. He lives in a big house. He drives a Lincoln. I love Lincolns, a town car. You still make them?
No. Oh.
But I love Lincolns. And he has a nice family. They've got a baby grand in their living room, Georgia. It's amazing what they've got.
Will they adopt?
They might. But you know, one day Bob said something to me, and I'll never forget what he did say to me. And you know what I should have said to him? I should have stood up to said Bob, said, "Bob, you so-and-so, let me tell you what I think of you." That's what I should have done, right? You know, I couldn't stand up to Bob. I can't stand up to anybody. It's the way I've been all my life. I couldn't stand up to my own father. Boy, did he ever make my life miserable. I never did measure up to his expectations, and you know what? I never will. Boy, does that bother me. You see how one little advertisement of looking at a car can take your mind from point A to point B? I don't know if you've ever been there, but I have many times. I just have a pity party for myself. That's not what taking your captive your thoughts means. One little advertisement can dominate your life, can make you feel miserable. It can take you in one afternoon from being a very positive person to a very negative person. That's why Paul said we need to take every thought captive. And when a negative thought enters into our mind, we need to grab hold of it before it has a chance to wander. We need to dissect it, cut it up and dissect it, pray about it, evaluate it, and then weigh it against this book, against Scripture. Is it true? The first step of getting victory in your thought life is to learn to think on purpose. Secondly, we need to think with a filter. Now, this might seem suspiciously like a product endorsement, but several years ago, Ruth bought a Brita filter. Now, how many of you have Brita filters? You know, when we got that Brita filter, my life changed. I just want you to know that. That nasty old water from the tap started tasting good. Even the ice cubes that we made from it tasted good. The rice that we cooked, the noodles, everything tasted much better because that water was filtered out. The impurities were filtered out, weren't they? It makes everything taste better. We need a filter, folks. Paul suggests that we use a filter for our thoughts. Look at Philippians 4:8. Paul said this, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Now, it would be a good idea to memorize this list of 8 things. It would be a great idea to do it. Because it's a filter, and whenever thoughts run through your mind, go through this list. Is it true? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent or praiseworthy? In other words, is this thought worthy of my time? So give it your full attention then, if it is. Web designers use a little trick. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but anytime you get on the internet, you're going to be faced with this. It's a little trick when they want you to go from one web page to another web page. There's a little line called HTML, and it's called redirect. And what it does, when you go to this web page, and there's nothing there, they've changed their web page or whatever, or they want you to go see another advertisement, it redirects you, just automatically taking you. You ever wonder why all these things pop up on your computer? It's because of this little trick called redirect. Satan uses that same trick in our minds. It takes our good thoughts to bad thoughts. Our thoughts of being wanting to follow the Lord Jesus Christ to thoughts of having a pity party for ourselves. Now, redirect's a pretty handy tool. This Word of God is our redirect. Redirect. Everything is in here we need to make that little HTML redirect for the good in each of our case. And here's the third thing I want you to see. Think in the direction of change. George Bernard Shaw once said this: those who cannot change their mind cannot change anything. Now, he may not have realized it, but he was indirectly referring to a biblical principle of transformation. Because in the book of Romans, Paul says this in Romans 12:2. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. In Ephesians, Paul said, be made new in the attitude of your minds. Folks, transformation begins with a transformation thought life. If you don't redo your thinking, you're not going to have that. I quoted Norman Vincent Peale earlier, back to one of the very first things in this message. Change your thoughts and you'll change yourself. Taking control of your thought life doesn't mean that you learn to just think pretty things, nice things, beautiful things. It means that you become a new person and that you make a difference in the world around you. The right attitude says this: God, I want to learn differently because I want to be a different person. I want to learn differently. I want to be more like Jesus so I can be a different person. That's why Peter said, prepare your minds for action, because it leads to doing. Taking control of your thought life means that you think in the direction of action. You ask yourself the question, what do I need to do in this particular situation? Henry David Thoreau said this: as a single footstep will not make a path on the earth, so a single thought will not make a pathway in the mind. To make a deep physical path, we walk again and again. To make a deep mental path, we must think over and over the kind of thoughts we wish to dominate our lives. Let's be honest, folks. Taking control of your thought life is hard work. You've got to work at it. It's not a one-time event. It's a daily process. But I'm going to tell you, the rewards are worth the effort. If we learn to think like God has told us to think, then, beloved, you will experience the transformation in life, in all areas of your life. And we will become more like Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, what a great truth from this passage this morning. A truth that can only come from you. We can hear the words of Norman Vincent Peale and all these other people that have this feel-good mentality. But Father, it's the Bible, the Word of God, that we're to hide in our hearts. And when we do that, then everything works out for the good. So, Father, as we leave this place, there will be negative things pop up in our lives, things every day. But help us to handle them. Help us to take control of our thought lives so that we can be more like you. Father, we love you and we praise you and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.